The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tech giant Intel, which is based in Leixlip in County Kildare, has offered voluntary unpaid time off to a large portion of its Irish workforce. The idea is to cut costs on a temporary basis. It comes just a week after the semiconductor company said it would need to make significant global cuts to remain competitive. Now, joining me to talk about all of this, Mary Connaughton, Director of CIPD, the professional body for HR in Ireland, and Catherine Murphy, co-leader of the Social Democrats and TD for North Kildare, and Jess Kelly, News Talk's tech correspondent. Good morning and welcome. Now, Jess, we'll start with you just to tell us what they make and where these chips are used.
So for many, many years, there was no technical device that did not have an Intel chip inside.
It's the Intel inside was the banner you saw on Dell and all the other.
The little sticker that people would fiddle with on the side of their keyboards and so on. That was what it was. They had sort of a monopoly in this market. They were the ones. The branding was everywhere. They grew phenomenally over time. And what happened a number of years ago was that an industry that relies upon innovation saw a stop of innovation from Intel. They didn't keep up the pace. They saw competitors come into the market. And earlier this year, they were surpassed by a company called AMD. Now, AMD is the company that makes, if you have an iPhone, for example, or if you have a Tesla car, they are the company that are manufacturing those chips. And not only have we seen pressure on Intel, but then we've also seen chip shortages. We saw huge impact in terms of COVID. There were a number of factors at play that have led us to where we are today.
If there's a shortage of chips, why do Intel need to lay off people? Why they just churn out the chips and give them, sell them to the motor manufacturers and everyone else who's stuck?
There seems to just be a lack of want, I suppose, for the chips from Intel. They seem to be going to the likes of AMD, which are making the most in-demand chips, the most sophisticated chips, the most powerful chips at the moment. So it does seem to be that sort of juxtaposition. We understand, while we don't have an exact number on the number of employees that will be impacted by this, it does seem to be very much focused on those working in the manufacturing side of things. So it does, it doesn't seem to make complete sense.
No, it doesn't
as
make sense to me, because if I need, say, a dozen chips in a car, and I don't know how many a car takes, and one is going to be running the air conditioning in the car, for instance. Give me an Intel chip rather than a car with no air conditioning. Do you know?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing at the moment is that the chip shortage is in existence. We know that there are a whole host of issues at play here. But what's interesting is that AMD, which is the rival that sort of surpassed Intel, they are getting a lot of their chips now made by a company called Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co. So they've been working with AMD since 2018.
So AMD is, if you like, the designers, and they say, here's our chip design. Now they go to Taiwan, find the actual factory to make their chip to their spec.
Yes. Now, this is a sort of a political bone of contention and a geopolitical bone of contention at the moment. Not only here in Europe, but elsewhere in the world, there is a worry about having an over-reliance on too much part of that that part of the world in terms of our chip production.
I mean, if the balloon goes up in Taiwan and China occupies it, that would be a hostile act, and no one would want to buy anything from Taiwan at that point. So we should have chip independence, if you like, in the same way as we're looking for energy independence in Europe and looking for different sources of the rare metals that are going into catalytic converters and all the rest.
And that is something that the EU is looking at the moment, and they are looking at what's being called the Chips Act, and that is very much about keeping European production, I suppose, in charge of the chips that we utilise. That would have a massive boost, or that would give a massive boost to the likes of Intel, because that would see a demand for their expertise and their history in terms of chip production. But that's going to be a work in progress. That's not going to be an overnight switch.
Yeah. And yet they're still constructing out in Intel. I haven't been out there for a long time, but
it's a huge site.
It's absolutely humongous.
It's a huge site. And last year, the company announced that they were going to create an extra 1,600 jobs and pump a further 12 billion into that plant. So, the other thing that we should note is, you know, we've heard from the company and from sources that this isn't about their commitment to Ireland. It's not about the shutting down this plant at all. It's about a short-term tightening of the belt. I've looked at the history of the semiconductor and the chip world, and it does go through peaks and troughs. The issue now is that when there was a bit of a trough before, Intel could sort of almost take a breath because they were still number one. The issue now is that there is this trough, but they're no longer number one. So they have that extra bit to grapple with. So they're looking to make significant savings with the short-term, extended periods of leave. They don't want to let people go. They want to keep their headcount where it is. So they're just trying different measures, I suppose, to try and make up that savings.
So they don't have the Dublin Airport problem of recruiting.
Exactly.
We've laid people off. Now we need our security people back. Where are they? Now we have these highly skilled workers in Intel. We lay them off. They're gone.
And they don't want to be in that because, again, this will come back around. And I think what will be really interesting to see is how they respond in 2023. I do think they'll need some of those big deals, though. You know, we're seeing Google now making their own chips, for example, which is putting extra pressure on those external manufacturers. So it's going to be about the deals that come in. But it all goes back to innovation. If tomorrow they unveiled a chip that was incredibly powerful and did everything that all of these big tech companies needed to do, the demand would be there.
Perhaps so there's that's what they're at.
Well, hopefully.
Who knows?
So
the number of workers out of the total workforce that might be offered this?
We don't know as of yet. They haven't clarified that at the moment, but we do understand it'll be predominantly in the manufacturing side of things. So there are 5,000 people working in Leakslip at the Intel site. So hopefully we'll get clarity over the coming hours and days.
All right. We'll get the political reaction in a moment from Catherine. But first of all, Mary Connaughton, want to get the HR response to this. Do we know anything at all, Mary, about the kind of offer that's on the table?
We don't have details on that, Pat. We haven't seen that level of detail. But when it comes to unpaid leave, what's important to call out is that this is voluntary. So what we're doing is they're asking people in the workforce to come forward and say they would be prepared to take unpaid leave. So even if they told us, you know, the offer was available for 2,000 people, it does depend on the individual response to that. Now, what unpaid leave is, an employee is still an employee of the organisation, and they still retain all their employment rights, you know, whether they have a full-time or a part-time contract. And really, unpaid leave is like a suspension of pay. So if you take time out, we won't pay you. But again, it is voluntary, so the employee has to step forward.
Okay. Now, I'm just thinking how this might work for someone. For example, you have two people working, they've got children in creche, and suddenly the opportunity to take 6 months off or whatever it is, which means they don't get paid, but their tax situation, they still have their annual tax-free allowance, and they stay home and mind the kids for 6 months. Like, some people might do the sums and say, yippee, this makes sense for me.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it will be attractive for some people. They will, in a sense, jump at the chance, even just to try it out. How can we survive if we have one income instead of, say, two, for example? You also save on commute costs. So, and, you know, could improve the value of work-life balance. And then there'll be another cohort who'll be interested in travelling and sort of saying, well, now I'm getting a chance to sort of step back and take some time out. So it will be attractive to quite a number of people to just try for 3 months and know they think they can go back to their permanent full-time role, or maybe make a decision differently after they've trialled a different way of life for a number of months.
Yeah. We have no idea of the offer, as you say. We have no idea of the duration. Will there be a selection? Do you want 3 months off, 6 months off, 9 months off, a year off? We don't know anything about that. The question of benefits, I mean, if, for example, you have health benefits, if you've got help with your private health insurance, I presume in some way that would have to be continued to be paid.
Yeah, there's a lot to look at around benefits. You have to think about what you do about pension contributions, either employee or employee. You have to think about what you do about bonuses. Do you just prorate it for the time period or at work? And then in something like health insurance, it would depend on whether or not, or the extent to which Intel might be subsidising that, or whether they're just operating as a payroll person, whereby they're collecting the employee pension contribution. And they would have to work out a formula around that with the employees. And some of these calls that they make will influence whether or not people will take it up. So the more supportive they are around the benefits, the more likely they are to get people to actually step forward.
Okay, so even though when you hear the news headline, you think, oh, dreadful news, it may not be that dreadful for many of the people who'll be tempted. And as you point out, it is completely voluntary. That seems to be the case. They may have done a calculation that they will get the reduction they require using a voluntary rather than anything that is forced.
It's also just worth noting that this company is it's here for the long term. And I think if you look at what they're continuing to invest in their technology, you know, the goal here is it's a long term strategy. And as I said, there is peaks and troughs in this sector. So I think that, as we said a second ago, their strategy very much is give people this option to take the 3 months leave if they so wish, unpaid leave, and then come back when the company's in better health to plough on. This isn't sort of a panic stations closing the door moment, as I understand it.
All right. Catherine Murphy is going to give us some local reaction and also, I suppose, political reaction. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what are you hearing locally?
Yeah, well, I mean, to an extent, there's some of this has been expected. We didn't know how it was going to play out because there was an announcement that there was going to be a 10 million cut globally over the next 3 years. So we knew that they were looking at cost savings and efficiencies. It's only now that we're starting to hear some detail, like in the last 24 hours. When you say locally, I live in Leixlip myself, so I'm very familiar with the plant as a consequence of that. But they employ people over a very wide catchment, and you can understand that because it's one of the largest private employers. You can have both an expansion and cutbacks at the same time, and that's the bit that I think maybe is better understood locally, because we see this huge expansion, 110,000 metre expansion of a very large facility to begin with. So it's not big, it's huge, and there's an expectation that, and there's an understanding that this is a short term.
Are you sensing any panic there, Catherine, in among the local workforce? Are you seeing any panic at all, or given the indications that the company made about global savings, that it was something they were kind of expecting, and the lack of compulsion, maybe, is that seen as positive news?
Yeah, I don't think people really quite know how it's going to play out because there's different categories of people that may well be impacted. I mean, they have global business groups like HR and finance and IT. They might be more impacted if there was going to be redundancies, for example. I suppose it depends on they have to reach these efficiencies. So they are to cut back on their costs. So there's no doubt that the if there isn't a large enough take up of this, it may well be then that the workforce will understand then that there's the possibility of redundancies. And as has been said, this may well be attractive to some, but it won't be attractive to others. Somebody with the mortgage, with kids and all the rest of it. That's a very different proposition than somebody who wants to take some time out to travel or whatever. In addition to the people who are directly employed in the plant, there's a huge number of people, in security and other contracts and vendors there would be some uncertainty in relation to that as well.
Yeah, but if manufacturing goes down, then obviously certain elements of the supply chain will diminish as well, and that might have downstream effects. Yeah. Finally, Catherine, generally speaking, how is Intel regarded as an employer? Are they seen as, pretty good?
Yeah, they're there a long time. I think it came to Leixlip about 1990. And we have been used to, and I take the point that Jess makes in relation to the different technologies that have been used over the years. But if you remember, for example, 300 job losses in 2009 and then 2011, then there's a huge big announcement and 500 million of investment. We have seen that kind of repeatedly over the decades that they have been there, and they're seen as a company that is there into the future. And I would say that they engage well with the community. The important thing now is that they, and I know there has been engagement with staff since October. The important thing that there is clarity for the staff as soon as possible, because this is, I mean, obviously uncertainty is going to, you know, lead to anxiety.
Sure, absolutely. And we could do without that at this time of the year. Catherine, we leave it there. Catherine Murphy, co-leader of the Social Democrats, TD for North Kildare. And before that, Mary Connaughton, director of CIPD, the professional body for HR in Ireland. And Jess Kelly, before you go... Yeah. We're doing a demo, a big demo.
We are. So on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, we are going to have 1 hour dedicated to our Christmas gift guide. So we are going to have something for everyone in your life at every price bracket. So we're going to start at around €15, right on up as high as the brain can go.
I'm really looking forward to
Me
that.
Me too.
Very good. Jess Kelly, our tech correspondent. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.